Good morning. We're speaking with Chris and Paul Romaine from the Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts. They are joining me this morning because, first of all, tell us a little bit about how this whole thing was conceived, how long you've been doing it, why you continue to do it, and the impact that it's made for young musicians, not only in Denver, but throughout the state of Colorado. You guys have done a remarkable, remarkable job. And it's been quite a few years, I know that.
We started this, the idea, probably in 1999. There were conditions in both of our lives that sort of pointed us in that direction, with Chris as an educator and an entrepreneur, and me as a gigging musician in the Denver area for, at that point, like 30 years. And I'd been involved with some of the things that Joe Andres was doing. We just sit in with his 80-piece elementary school jazz band, they'd learn how to improvise, you know, on the spot in this just kind of call and response environment. And I'd witnessed that. I just come off of a casino gig that I kind of left very abruptly with two young kids to take care of. And my wife had a tea shop on 32nd Avenue that kind of closed abruptly. So we had talked about how connected we were in this community back then, you know, and all the great musicians that were, you know, just in this town and were starting to teach or involved in those kinds of things. And had fantasized about, like, well, man, if we started something, we could get Jeff Jenkins and Eric Gunnison and Ken Walker and Mark Simon and John Gunther and Greg Gizmer. You just fantasize about our faculty and what that would look like. But we just kind of went into it in a very tactile way.
It wasn't just the circumstances in our lives. we were just observing the direction that music education was going in the public schools, especially. And both of us had had really impactful experiences as young musicians or teenage musicians, and we weren't seeing that same kind of impact in the community. And just looking around at how all the high schools, some of them have big bands, very few had small groups. And I mean, that's normal around the country, but since so much of the music and the history, the culture, literature, everything is coming out of small group format, we were just like, why can't we create that here? So on a regular basis, kids could, you know, learn about that aspect of the music and also interact with professional jazz musicians, because our community is so rich with them. We were responding to a need in the community as well, and just decided to see what would happen. So yeah, we sent out flyers and we got a couple back, and we decided just to go for it.
So. Well, she sent out 300 flyers to 60 different high schools. And out of those 300 flyers, three of them came back.
Wow.
And it was funny because it wasn't like, oh, we magically had a band. it was two tenor players and a trumpet player. And the trumpet player was Kenny Warren. And the tenor player, one of the tenor players, Tommy Morimoto, who's from New York. And the other tenor player was Michael Bailey, who's running around Denver all doing all sorts of projects. And so those are the three. I was like, well, we're not going to have a big band. They figured that out pretty quickly. But I was teaching high school kids drum lessons at the time. I got one of those kids to say, why don't you do this? And then we got A.J. Salas, Andy Salas, A.J.'s dad, was at Fletcher Hinton. He says, oh, my kid, why don't you put him in there? And and then Jean-Luc Davis, you know, so those are the original six. The drummer was Reed Pryor. And within, I think, a month after we started, we were on the air at KUVO. I still have that broadcast with,
wow,
Chaz Gayle, you know. It was a crazy broadcast. It felt like nobody knew what they were doing, but it was really cool. It taught me a lot. It's like, oh, wow, to be a director of this, I need to know stuff, you know? I need to know stuff about jazz and everything. I felt like I did, but to talk about it on an intellectual level.
Yeah.
a different story.
Where did the concept of the jazz camps come along? How quickly did you get involved in that? It requires connecting a lot of dots philanthropically, right, in order to make this thing work. I remember some of the early days with the jazz camps down in Jazz Na Sangres at Westcliff and so forth. And by then, you know, you had Eric Gunnison, you had a lot of people involved.
That all happened within a year.
Oh, okay.
Of starting up.
Yeah.
It started happening quick. One of the things we want to do at CCJ is expose kids to kind of an authentic jazz environment to have their concerts in, you know. Vartan's was still around back then, and that's where we were doing our concerts. And we had our fall concert in 2000 at Vartan's. By then, we were up to like three small groups. Let's see, Jan Pyle and Sterling Kaminsky and Diane, they came to this concert, and Jan, I think they pushed Jan in front of us, and it's like,
well, would you guys be interested in running a jazz festival down at Westcliff?
You know, it was a camp for the jazz festival, yeah. So he approached us that next year, 2001, was the first year we did Westcliff. So we just finished our 23rd year down there, Jazz in the Sun Grays camp.
With how many groups?
We had six this year.
Six?
Wow. Yeah.
Six small groups and two big bands.
I see. And who did you have as your teachers, mentors?
This year, we had Greg Gisbert, Mark Patterson, Annie Booth, Gonzalo Tepa, and Daryl Gott. We had a number of near-peer mentors also participating. They act as both musician mentors and sort of counselors because, you know, you're dealing with 42 kids now and 12, you know, faculty and staff. So it's quite a undertaking going into this town where you kind of have to make it happen. Like, they're not there waiting for you to have everything ready. It's just like you have to deal with the town.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have six places for the kids to rehearse in, and you have venues to play the concerts in, and you know, you have to line up the chef and the food. And
yeah, I was always curious as to why Westcliff, after all these years. It's probably because of the relationships that you've established.
The relationships and the traditions. It's
okay.
Really interesting to see how much the kids value those traditions and how they get carried on even when we try to stop it.
We try to stop. Enough. I've done this enough, you know. That's
no more trips to the graveyard in the middle of the night, please.
They found a way to do it anyway. I don't know.
So here we are, fast forward to 2023, and do you even have an idea of how many young people have come through your program? Because it's not just one program. You've got, I would imagine, different levels of curriculum and workshops depending on what your focus is for a particular group of kids. Like, for example, here at home in Denver, where the program continues to exist and thrive. But it's 24 years now, you know. I would imagine there's been quite a number of kids, and also greater opportunities for kids who reside here, you know, urban-wise, who can't really commit or make that trip to one of your camps. So looking back on it now, it's how many kids, and how do you see the growth of CCJA moving forward?
I used to keep count, and I lost count after a couple thousand.
Wow.
Now things are going, you know, at the level where I don't have time to count that. But it's been amazing just to see how the community has responded over the years, and how we were able to add, you know, different camps, different programs. You know, the small group program is our focus, it's still our core, but one of our goals is obviously, you know, to be as inclusive as possible. And so that has inspired us to do new and different things, which we're really excited about. One of the things we're working on now is we just applied for a grant to start doing a Kinderbach program in an elementary school in Denver that just hasn't had any music, not even a general music teacher, for over 2 years.
What do you call it?
Kinderbach. It's preschool and early elementary program called Kinderpop. It includes, you know, like literacy exercises and dancing and singing and improvising. And we're really excited about that. And we're looking to start helping even just a few kids at a time in upper elementary school learn how to play an instrument, and then giving them all the support they need if it's something they want to do, that they can, you know, move into our groups and programs. Another big thing that changed fairly recently was we had some interest in Boulder with some adults who wanted to be in a group. So they started, and then the pandemic happened, and they actually grew really close, and it turned out to be something that helped them get through the pandemic. And before we knew it, without doing any marketing, we have about 40% of our groups now are adults. And that's not something we planned on. It just was a response in the community. So like last spring, we had 15 groups and 7 of them were adults.
Were all these groups hands-on, or were you doing Zoom? I mean.
Oh, you mean like during the pandemic?
Right.
We kept it going in person other than about 3.5 months. It was really difficult to follow all the protocols, but we found ways to do it. We even did the jazz camp in Westcliff.
Yeah. Well, on the one hand, I imagine that with the pandemic and, Paul, you not being able to work steadily with your group Convergence, or just even in all the groups that you're in playing drums, it gave you a little more time to devote to the CCJA, you know, to the actual workshops and so forth. But here we are in 2023. I guess my question to you would be, where's that balance? How do you find that balance between continuing to work as an active musician after what you're in your, what, 40-something, 50th year? I don't know. You're not as old as I am. I know that. You know.
So, yeah, it's been about 50 years, yeah.
Yeah, about 50 years. So where are you at today? And you've seen so many changes. I'm of this opinion, very quickly, that we are in another golden era of jazz right now in Denver and in our state. There's so many fantastic musicians. Maybe we don't have all the venues that we always want, but nobody ever does. You may have 10 and you want 15 places to play, right? But the point is that from the musicianship standpoint, and you can speak better than I can to it, this is just remarkable. There's just so many really good musicians with passion and trying to do their thing. Where are you at today in your music?
Wow. Well, I... Well, addressing the pandemic, I guess what happened at our house was, I can't even describe it. Something just took over my body and made me do this. But during the pandemic, that first year of 2020, we had 72 concerts on our porch or in the gazebo. And some of which were kids that had done CCJA that were back, you know, trying to go to school in New York from their computer in Denver and, you know, not playing with anybody. I called, like, my first group was Alex Heffron, Rico Jones, and Tony Golden, you know, and they played on my porch almost 7 nights a week all through May of 2020. And then, you know, then we got CCJA up and running. We found like sort of an underground network of spaces that kids could play in and be distanced and all those things that we had to do. And we presented the concerts on our porch, and to the point where if you look up our address on on Google, it says we're a jazz club, and we have 5 stars with 1 review. So anyway, but just handling and feeling, to me, it's like the community is the most important thing. These musicians, especially, you know, there's CCJA musicians that are now directing CCJA groups, like like Daryl Gott and Gabe Mervine and Annie Booth and Patrick McDevitt.
Gabe Mervine, Camila.
Yeah. Like just a whole slew of kids that did CCJ that are now adults that are really playing really great. And, you know, and it's kind of a full circle ecosystem. So when something like a pandemic happens, you know, like all I could feel was the weight of the responsibility of feeling like we're an organization that is rooted in this community and we need to do whatever we can to keep these guys working, to keep them active, to keep the spirits of the music alive during that period. So coming out of that, and you know, all the clubs are coming back online and playing gigs again and doing stuff. I've been involved in personally, a lot of recording projects of really fun bands that people I've always wanted to play with. Those are now coming out. Some of them are taking longer than others, but there's so much to keep track of. Not only am I doing CCJ, but I'm also on the faculty at CU Boulder, and I have you know, all the jazz drummers, and this is my second year of directing the CU Big Band, which has been a total kind of frightening, joyful experience. I can't describe like how those things go, but I just continue to be involved with young musicians, and then whenever I get a chance, you know, I get to still play with the Ken Walker Sextet. We still get to do things with Convergence. I get to do special projects of bands. We have something coming up in September with Chie Yamaizumi, you know, and her.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, which we haven't done anything. I haven't seen her in like over 10 years. And we're just excited to kind of rekindle some of these things. And I'm excited to support them in terms of creating my own music and doing my own thing. I love to write. I love to just kind of foist my material on other bands without having to have one of my own. You know, and it's hard. I just kind of want to stay focused on what Chris and I started and being able to nurture this along to where, you know, we can pass this whole consciousness of taking care of humans through the art form of jazz in every way we can, and for people to feel the connection to that, so that, you know, Chris and I don't have to keep doing it forever.
Yeah,
much as we enjoy it,
you know? Of course. Well, it's all about legacy at this point, and exactly right. Just like music, it's about passing it on and making sure that it continues to be there for the current and future generations. You know, when we sat down, the little music committee, we sat down to discuss, you know, who we wanted to present the Carlos Lando Music Educator Scholarship Award this year, something that we just started last year that was an idea that came out of our CEO's office involving my legacy, noting that I was stepping away from all management responsibilities at KUVO. They said, well, how would you like if we did this? I said, well, that's great, because I can think of, you know, two or three organizations right off the top that we need to recognize and honor. So this year when we sat out and met, and Jeff Anderson, who's been on the committee from the beginning because of hosting the High School Collegiate Series, we didn't even have to think twice about it. CCJA, Chris and Paul Romaine, they have to receive it, the award this year. And so that was a no-brainer. How do you feel about getting the award and the recognition? We are interested in making sure that we can honor and bring to light other organizations that are working with people in music education.
Well, first of all, we're incredibly humbled and honored and surprised, but definitely this means a lot to us, and as does our relationship with KUVO. Ever since the very beginning, KUVO has been supportive. You know, I feel like we have a partnership, and KUVO is such a core part of the jazz community here in Denver, and does so many things that I think people don't even realize, you know, beyond what you're hearing on the station. So we are just incredibly grateful for all of the support, and you know, the times we've had kids perform on the radio, that means so much to them. That is a huge deal. Mm. And it also means a lot to their parents and makes them feel like they're part of the community also, which is one of the things, you know, we've wanted to do from the beginning, is make a stronger connection between the existing veteran jazz musicians in the community, connecting them to the younger ones and the ones coming up, and giving everyone more opportunities to interact with each other. And KUVO has always supported us in doing that. So thank you.